From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, it's time to Let the Bible Speak. And this is Alan Cairns with you to lead you through the program. I'm glad you're with us. We don't take that for granted. We really do appreciate you making this program part of your day. Today we come to the end of our study of Titus 1 verse 2, the hope of eternal life. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but first we commence with our daily devotional Bible study and our thought for the day. From Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 21, a subject that every one of us, I think, would want to hear, living above fear. Deuteronomy 1:21, fear not, neither be discouraged. Nothing more effectively hinders our spiritual usefulness than fear and discouragement. As long as we live above these, we can withstand every furious assault of the world and of the devil. When we are fearful, matters little whether it is a fear of man or of suffering or of death. When we are fearful and our hearts are downcast, we are easily overcome. Are you living under the clouds of fear and discouragement? What is it that you fear? Why are you discouraged? Do you feel forsaken by God? Are you laboring under some great grief? Is your soul cast down because of some failure or sin? Are you paralyzed by the fear of man? The causes of fear and discouragement are myriad. The cure is the same in every case. David speaks of that cure in the 42nd and 43rd Psalms. Hope thou in God is his remedy. The solution to our problem with fear and discouragement is in the Lord. That's what Moses was teaching the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 1, and it's what the Holy Spirit is teaching us today. The Lord Jehovah is our God, Deuteronomy 1:21. So why need we fear any mere man, or indeed any power of hell? As our God, the Lord is faithful to all his covenant promises. He has purchased us for himself. He has pardoned us. He has made us a full and rich provision for every need. He assures us of his presence. He is with us in every path of life, however dark or difficult it may be. He will uphold us in every trial and will make us triumph over every foe. And despite the devil's whisper that we will ultimately perish, he guarantees our safe arrival in glory. We have a great and all-sufficient Savior. He cannot fail, and he will not fail. Hope in him. Victory over fear will never be ours through some psychological trick. It can be ours only as we submerge ourselves in his great love for us. For, as 1 John 4 verse 18 says, perfect love casteth out fear. Let us then come out of the darkness of dread and discouragement and encourage our souls in the Lord, who says, fear not, neither be discouraged. Our thought for the day comes from the Puritan John Flavel. Let none but the servants of sin be the slaves of fear. Here at Let the Bible Speak, we try to make available to you some resources that we hope will better equip you to stand for the Lord and serve Him. Many of you are well aware of the materials that we try to keep constantly available. At times, however, there are special offers that we think you should hear about, and I want to make a very important resource available to you today. Recently, the World Council of Churches, that is a body that exists to promote one world church, is a very apostate body, but it operates under the name of Christianity. It held its 7-yearly meeting in Brazil, and the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, a Bible-believing association of separated churches, the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, Dr. Ralph Colas, was in Brazil to report on the World Council of Churches meeting. His report makes startling reading as he lifts the veil from the utter apostasy of the ecumenical movement. We would like you to receive Dr. Colas' report. And so we ask you to write, call, or email and let us know that you'd like to have it, and we'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to sending you Dr. Colas' expose of the apostasy of the World Council of Churches.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
We come to the last segment of the sermon on the hope of eternal life, taken from Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Yesterday we stressed a most important point, and that is that we exercise this hope by faith. That's where we now resume the study, going on to deal briefly with the evidence and the effects of the hope of eternal life in a believer. With these things in mind, let's turn one last time to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2.
The biblical way of enjoying hope, the biblical way of being able to exercise the Christian hope in the face of the bleakest circumstances is by faith. That is faith in Christ, faith in the gospel. You see, I'm getting back to this. Your focus must be on Christ. It must be on His person. It must be on His work. It must be on His success. It must be on His promise and His faithfulness. And as your faith is fixed on Christ, it will give you the hope of eternal life in full enjoyment. Jeremiah, one of the saddest passages of his life, the third chapter of Lamentations, cried, verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." Now this is at a time when Jeremiah's heart was broken because of the fall of Jerusalem and the captivity of his people. His heart was broken. It appeared that all that he had longed for and hoped for was brought to naught. But he said, "The Lord is my portion. I don't like what's happening. I don't even understand what's happening. But the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." In the 31st Psalm, verse 24, we read, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Tonight we were reading Psalm 42. It's a psalm that if you haven't yet had to pray through by faith, you'll not live much longer before you have to. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" What's the answer? "Hope thou in God." That's the answer. When all the props have been kicked away, you've got to get to this. He is the help that you need. "And I will praise Him for the help of His countenance." What does that mean? I will praise Him that in the midst of all the perplexities and the darknesses and the trials and the troubles, I can yet catch a glimpse of the beauty and the glory of the face of my Redeemer. That's my help. Just let a Christian get a glimpse of Christ. Let him see the Lord. And the circumstances may be as bad as ever they were, but everything will be different. Everything will be different for the Christian once he catches a sight of the Lord. That's the exercise. It's by faith in Him. The evidence of this hope is godliness. It speaks of the truth which is after or according to godliness in hope of eternal life. Time forbids we pursue this in any depth, but I want to make this clear to you. Holy works are as much an evidence of a lively hope as they are of a living faith. James says that faith without works is dead. People who say that they have the hope of eternal life, but they are strangers to godliness, are living in a fool's paradise. You're not saved by your godliness, but if you're saved, you'll be godly. There is a basic godliness that belongs to being a Christian. The truth, once it's acknowledged and accepted, the gospel, once it's believed in, produces godliness. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. We have been conditioned, especially in fundamentalist churches, evangelistic churches, to believe that when the Bible speaks of fruit, the only thing it's talking about is soul winning. Now I want you to go out and reach souls. Win as many for Christ as He will enable you to reach. But the fruit of the Spirit is the production of true and vital godliness in the life of a Christian. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering. The ninefold fruit of the Spirit. That is God's product in the life. And it's impossible for there to be a root without any fruit. Let me remind you of the barren fig tree. When the Lord Jesus came and He saw a fig tree, and it was bearing its leaves, and He came if perchance there would be found fruit on it, and there was no fruit, and He cursed that fig tree. Now this seems so utterly out of character for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems, and many people have thought this, is this just an outburst of bad temper? Impossible! There's a reason for this. And oh my friend, that reason is one that we need to take very serious note of. You see, among those fruit-bearing trees, the fig tree had this characteristic, that it produced its fruit before its leaves. The leaves are supposed to be the profession of fruit. And when he got there, there was nothing but dead leaves there. There was no fruit. No fruit at all. And he cursed it. I want to tell you, if you have the leaves of profession without the fruit of godliness, no matter how much you may wishfully think that it will be well with your soul, you are yet a stranger to the hope of eternal life. Christians are not sinless. They wish they were. They grieve over their sins and their failures. But that in itself is an evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. That in itself is an evidence of the desire for true godliness. And there is in every Christian, even though every Christian is a work under construction and is far from finished, yet there is in every Christian a core of godliness. The last reference to the hope of the Christian in the New Testament is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. And it says, every one that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's the evidence of the hope of eternal life. The effect of the hope is the last thing that I bring to your attention. The effect of this hope. This is something that's easily overlooked. Read the first verse. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now go to verse 2. In hope of eternal life. And I honestly believe that Paul is making sure we understand that he served as an apostle in hope of eternal life. That his Christian service was based on the hope of eternal life. And that's because this hope produces patient endurance, as 1 Thessalonians 1:3 makes clear. Do you remember Moses? Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Why? For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He had his eye on the hope, on the prize. Paul wrote to the Christians among the Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24. Ye took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Get the hope before you. Set the glory before you. Keep in view the end of the story, and you'll find that this hope will have the effect of a cheerful service, enabling you to live with your eyes on the prize, counting all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus your Lord, and assured of eternal life in all its full and final realization. You will live for God here and now. You'll live for His glory. Steadfast. Immovable. And you'll always be abounding in the work of the Lord. The hope of eternal life. It comes from God. He's the God of hope. It comes by His calling in the gospel. And all who believe Christ receive it. It's theirs. But I want to finish with this very, very real and important emphasis. The only people who have any right to hope are God's people. If you're not saved, you've God for your enemy, the devil for your master, and hell for your eternal destiny. You play the fool when you indulge the wishful thinking of a vain and an empty hope. The unsaved, according to Ephesians 2:12, are without hope. When they sorrow, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:13, they sorrow as those that have no hope. What a contrast when God says to his people, as he does in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Colloquially, I know my plan and purpose for you. You don't know it all yet, but I know it. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, or literally to give you an end and an expectation, to give you a glorious end and a future. Let me ask you tonight, do you have that assured end? Do you have that glorious future? God says to his believing people, I know my plan. And that plan is for your assured end and your glorious future. Is that yours? Do you have that in Christ? Let me ask you tonight, if tonight where you sit marked your end as far as this world's concerned, what would your future be? If God were to take you from the pew in which you're sitting right now, would you go from the church pew to the glories of his presence? Or would you go from the church pew to the damnation of eternal hell? Serious question. You either have or you don't have the hope of eternal life. Men and women, Jesus said, I am the life. I am the life. Oh, that you would close with Christ, possess life in him, and then live in the enjoyment of the hope of that eternal life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.